We have been doing a series on the fruits of the Spirit. Earlier in the service, we sang these songs about the Holy Spirit, come and fill me. And the Bible makes it really, really clear in many different spots that as the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, the Spirit of God comes and lives inside of us, there's certain things, there's certain fruits that pop up within our lives as a result of that. Paul talks about this extensively in Galatians chapter 5. He talks about the fruit of the Spirit. So we've talked about him producing love within our lives. It was week number one. Love is the linchpin of a fruit or a marker of the Spirit in our lives. And when the Holy Spirit lives in us, there's going to be love. And then last week, we talked about that aspect of joy, a God-given joy, so much different than typical happiness that we experience in life. And this week, I want to talk about peace. I think this is something that we're struggling with and lacking in our world today. It's a typical common human struggle. And as we dive into this, I'd want to show you a quick video clip. This is from an old movie. If you were alive during the 90s, you would have seen this movie. It's called Twister. And this is the very kind of one of the last scenes of the movie. Do they make it? They survive. So I forgot to mention before the start of that, they are in the middle of an F5 tornado. So all tornadoes, they have their ratings, right? Just like earthquakes do. And F5 is like the biggest tornado you can be in the midst. And this movie is about, what are their names? Bill and Joe. And they're chasing after tornadoes. They're wanting to see, they're trying to get testings on tornadoes, and they're chasing them. And they end up in the middle of this F5 tornado. And it's whipping all around. They end up right in the eye of the storm. And when I watch a video like that, to me, this reminds me of so much, I think, of what we experience in life. Have you ever felt like that? Where you're just trying to hold on for dear life. It feels like everything is ripping off its foundations around you. They're trying their best to survive. Maybe you felt like that with life. I think that everything that the world is going through today and some of what we experience just on a personal basis, it feels a little bit like we're stuck in the middle of a tornado like that. And yet it's funny because what they found is they went inside this little, I think it's a pump house, where these pipes go straight down into the ground. And they're able to strap themselves to these pipes that go straight down, potentially down to bedrock. And they're holding on to that. And I think that represents for a lot of us when we hold on to Jesus Christ. When Jesus is our foundation, when God is our foundation, we strap ourselves to him and we can hold on. The tornado comes, and if you notice, their bodies are flying up in the air as they're holding on to that pipe. And they're right in the middle of the eye of the storm. And before that moment, they're scurrying, they're running, they're doing everything they can to survive. But once they're sitting in the eye of that storm, they look up, and it's almost like you can sense a peace that comes over them as they're able to look up in the middle of the eye of the storm. They're in awe of what they're experiencing. And I think sometimes in life, when we are holding on to Jesus, it can be a little bit like that. It feels like our body is literally being thrown up in the middle of the air. But when we're holding on to Jesus in the middle of that storm, I think we can be in awe and look and have peace in our lives, knowing that Jesus is going to take care of us. And when it's all said and done, when you get to the end of that video, it didn't show very well there, but it shows a little old farmhouse sitting there almost untouched. The scene before this, they're running out of a barn, and the barn gets ripped off of its foundations. And they go into that pump house, and they hold on, and the storm comes, the tornado comes, and when it's all said and done, everything is torn apart, but there's this little old farmhouse that is sitting there untouched that the tornado didn't hit. And in many ways, when we put our foundations in Jesus, we can be that little old farmhouse. The storm comes, and everything gets ripped off its foundations, but we survive and we're untouched. We struggle with anxiety today like never before. We struggle with discouragement. We struggle with fear. And yet God wants to be there, right there in the middle with us. He wants to give us peace in the middle of that. In John chapter 14, verse 27, this is what Jesus said. He says, "I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid." Jesus is saying, I'm going to be leaving you. I'm going to go to the Father, but I'm leaving you a gift. I love that. It's this idea that a gift isn't something that you earn, right? It's something that is just given to you. And Jesus is wanting to say to us, I want to give you a gift. You haven't earned it. I'm giving it to you because I love you. And this gift is peace. It's peace of mind. If you're someone who's cerebral, who's a thinker, and sometimes you just overthink things, you go to bed at night and you can't shut your mind down, I think Jesus is talking into this. He says, I want to give you peace of mind. I want to give you peace. I want to give you calm. He says, peace of heart. Those are your emotions. If you're less cerebral and you're more emotional, and your emotions get caught up in your experiences, I believe that Jesus wants to give you peace as well. The type of peace that Jesus gives, he says, is so different. You're not going to find it anywhere else but in Jesus. This is a peace that the world cannot give you. So peace is a term that we use when we talk of the absence of war. You know, when we look at Ukraine, we ask the Lord would bring peace into that situation. But Jesus wants to give us a different type of peace that is so outside of our typical human experience. When I was preparing for this message today, I couldn't help but think many years ago for me before I came here to Gateway, to Kamloops. As many of you know, Catherine and I and the kids, we were living overseas. We were living in the Middle East. And we were there for many years as global workers. And the Lord started direct us and changing our hearts and directing us to come back to Canada. And it was a really, really big decision for us. It was something that I had to pray for months about, months and months and months. And a peace came to us to be able to make that move. And then once we made that decision, then there was the whole tornado of trying to, like, actually make it happen. You know, you sell everything off. It's like the amount of times Catherine and I have to sell everything off and start over again. Oh, man, it's been so many times. And yet God has always provided for us. We start selling everything off, and you start preparing to come back to Canada, and it was our last month that we were living there. And it was our last month, and I realized, I have no idea what we're going to do when we come back to Canada. I have three kids. I have no idea where we're going to live. Where are they going to go to school? What kind of job am I going to get? How am I going to support my family? And all the worries of the world came flooding into my heart. Can you relate to that? Just all the worries of the world, and it felt really, really heavy. And remember one day as we're kind of doing our going aways, and we're with some other global workers with us that were in our city. They gathered around us and they prayed over us and they laid their hands on us and they're praying their blessing on us as we're preparing to leave. And as they're praying for us, all of a sudden, it was like I just felt this warm oil pour all over me. And I felt just the peace of God that just the world cannot give. It didn't make sense at all. But all of a sudden, just like the voice of God spoke into my heart and said, I got you covered. Like, it's going to be okay. I have a plan. I have a purpose. I'm going to direct you. And none of my problems were solved at that moment. I still didn't know where we're going to live. I still didn't know where the kids were going to go to school. I didn't know how I was going to support my family. But it didn't matter. Because I knew who was in control. I knew that God was there. He's saying, I'm with you. We use the word rest in peace. Have you ever seen that on a tombstone? Most of the time we see it in movies. When someone passes away and we say, rest in peace. And there's this idea of peace. And we think, once we die, then I'm going to receive peace. And there's a part of that that bugs me that I don't think is very biblical. That we don't have to wait to go to heaven. We don't have to wait until we die to have peace. That God wants to give us peace now, in your life now, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're going through, He wants to give you peace now. In the scripture that I read you earlier, John chapter 14, the word that is used there for peace, it's a Greek word that has less to do with lack of conflict. It's not about being in a situation where you can be in quiet or still or at rest. This idea of peace that is used in this scripture is a word that was often used referring to when a strong leader was in charge of a city or a nation. It was the calmness that that leader brought when it had a caring, competent, and secure leader. It was a word that was often used when referring to the Roman kingdom and emperors of the time, saying, the peace of Rome. The emperors would say, I'm going to bring you this peace. And Jesus uses it to refer to himself. I'm going to give you that peace. Jesus is leaving us that peace. He is our caring, competent, and secure leader. When he is our leader, we can know we can have peace. We are in his care. Have you ever had peace by being with someone that you know that they know what they're doing? You don't know what you're doing, they do, so it gives you peace. I remember as a kid, we'd go on road trips on a regular basis, and my dad was the driver. And this was back in the day, there's no GPSs. There's no Google Maps. You might have a paper map, and that's about it. But no matter where we went, my dad seemed to have a nose to know where to go. And as a child, I had a peace knowing that wherever we were going, he was going to get us to that location. As a kid, I had a peace about that. It's funny because as the years have gone by, my parents have gotten older, I've gotten older. And when we lived overseas for years, every so often my parents would come and visit me. And when they'd come and visit, they were out of their element. And now the tables had flipped over the years. And we're in these foreign countries, and I know the language. My dad doesn't know the language. And I remember my dad saying to me one time, I'm just sticking with you. Like, wherever you go, that's where I'm going. I'm like, Dad, you can go off on your own. He's like, no, I'm sticking with you. You know the language. You know the culture. I'm sticking with you. And I think that it's like that with Jesus. We can say in our lives, man, I don't know where I'm going. You know where you're going. I'm sticking with you. And like that little kid, when I was a little kid, we can have peace. That our Heavenly Father knows. Even when things are messy, He knows. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I love that. Philippians is an amazing book. Do not be anxious about anything. You're like, really, God, anything? Yes, anything. And then he gives us these tools. Paul's like, here's some tools for you. If you don't know how to deal with this anxiety, he says, everything, bring it to me in prayer. Petitions. Petitions, this idea of like coming with requests. Saying, God, this is what's going on. I need help in this. And you come with your requests, and that's okay. He's like, I'm here to listen. Bring me your problems. Come to me in prayer. And there's this aspect of thanksgiving that's so important. Or say, we come to him with thanksgiving and say, God, I place my eyes on you. And I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for all those things you've done in my life in the past. I don't know about you, but oftentimes I have a really bad memory about the past and things that he's done for me. He's provided for me in so many ways. Sometimes I need to remind myself of that. Hey, Matt, remember when he's provided you over here? And it's like, oh, yeah, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for providing for me. This type of peace that God wants to give us doesn't make sense, but it transcends all understanding. Transcends all understanding. It's okay if it doesn't make sense to the world. God doesn't need to explain himself to the world. And it's supposed to guard our hearts and our minds. So the peace that God wants to give you is going to guard your heart. What are you going to? What are you feeding yourself with? Nowadays, if you are struggling and it's like you're struggling with anxiety and you're struggling with stress and the thing that you're consuming all the time is watching the news of what's happening in all these different places and how things are a mess, how things are a mess in Ukraine, how things are a mess in China, how things are a mess here and there, and you're filled with anxiety, turn it off. And start filling your heart and mind with the words of God and allow his peace to come over you. Did you know, I was looking at some stats this week, and within Canada it says 1 in 4 Canadians aged 18 or older screened positive for symptoms of depression, anxiety, or PTSD. This is the spring of 2021 after COVID or during COVID. So if you're a young adult, you're 18 and younger, it's like 1 in 4 are dealing with this, these aspects of PTSD, anxiety, depression. In any given year, 1 in 5 people in Canada will personally experience a mental health problem or illness. That's a lot of us. That's a lot of us. Another stat is that by age 40, about 50% of the population will have or have had a mental illness. That's half of us in this room by the age of 40. Now, when I throw out these stats, this isn't about making us feel bad or guilty or anything like that. This is actually to show this is a very human response. If you're dealing with these symptoms, this isn't to say that you're a bad Christian, you're a bad person, or anything like that. We're all dealing with this stuff. But I do believe that we do have tools and we have someone with us that wants to guide us and direct us and be with us through these problems that we have. We don't have to walk it alone. Part of the reason why we have church is because spirituality isn't about doing this alone. It's not just about listening to podcasts and reading your Bible on your own and maybe watching church online by yourself at home, but it's that need to surround ourselves with people who are going to help us along in the journey. We all need friends. We need brothers and sisters in Christ. We need counselors. And we need God, first and foremost. Did you know, I was reading this book over the last month, and a story popped out of that really stuck out to me. In the 1960s, there was a Senate subcommittee that was appointed down in the United States, and they were looking at the future advantages of technology and innovation, and they're looking at the challenges in the future in regards to that technology, and they said one of the challenges that we're going to face with technology is boredom. This is what they're saying in the 60s. It's going to be boredom. And the reason why they said we're going to deal with boredom is that they figured that by 1985, people would approximately only work about 22 hours a week. They're looking, this is back in the 60s, they're like looking in the future, like the technology is getting so advanced, it's going to be so good, we're only going to have to work 22 hours a week because we're going to have all this technology to help us. And their guesstimation was that we're only going to work about 27 weeks a year. That'd be nice, right? 22 hours a week, 27 weeks a year. And they figured that all of us would be able to retire by the age of 38. And many of you in the room are saying, man, I'm way past the age of retirement now. What's the deal? This is what they're thinking back. They're thinking, like, with our technology, it's gonna help us in all these ways. But what has it really done, right? Our lives are faster and busier than ever before. Our work lives haven't slowed down. We work just as many hours, if not more. Can we have peace as we're going through life at the speed of light? Can we have peace when our priorities are all mixed up? In many ways, they are. Can we have peace when we're addicted to technology and we just need that dopamine hit from our cell phones and our computers and everything? Can we have peace? Psalm 46:10 says this, "Be still and know that I am God." Just think about that. Be still and know that I am God. I think we really struggle to be still. Have you ever sat down and I've had this experience where you have nothing to do and you sit down and the first thing that like hits your mind because you're bored within a second is you reach for your cell phone and scroll. Do we know how to be still? I think one of the reasons why we struggle with anxiety has to do with knowing where the future has in store for us. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6 says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." Trusting in God, that's such a key part. Lord, I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what tomorrow holds. Next year, whatever, but I'm going to trust in you. And I'm going to be looking for your guidance. You're going to show me which path to take. You're going to show me, God, not in my own wisdom, but in yours. I want to share with you one last scripture. This is Matthew 5, verse 9, and I think it's not just about us having peace. I think it's what we do with the peace that God gives us. Jesus said this, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. You know, in the day and age that we live in, God wants to give you peace. But it goes so much deeper than that, you know. He wants to give you peace because he loves you, but then he's like, I want you to take that into the world. We are called as the church, as followers of Jesus, we're called to be peacemakers in our world. I think we're missing this. Is the church considered to be peacemakers anymore? This is Jesus calling for us. But to be 100% honest, I think sometimes what I see out of the Christian church at large in North America is controversy and strife. It's the opposite of this sometimes. We live in a world of extreme positions where people can't agree. And so we tend to drift to people who are just like us, that will agree with us. And we see that even in the church, where we're just trying to find someone who can think like me, and that's who I'm going to have fellowship with. This is part of what's going on in the world today now more than ever. And yet Jesus has called us as his followers to be different. If we truly are peacemakers, it means that we can be with anybody. We can hang out with anybody, and we can bring the presence of Jesus with us, and we can bring his peace. So if you are politically right, can you hang out with someone who's politically left and bring peace with you, bring the peace of Jesus? If you're politically left, can you do it with someone who's politically right? Can we bring the peace of Jesus with us into situations? I think this is the mark of a follower of Jesus. As we walk out into the world where people are torn apart and dealing with anxiety, is to carry with us a peace that transcends all understanding. And to be able to give that peace to others. To be a peacemaker in relationships that are being torn apart. To not demonize the other side, but to befriend the other side. This is the mark of Jesus. Bill, will you come forward? We're going to be preparing to take communion together. But before we do that, let me just close in prayer in this section. Let me pray over you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to invite your peace into this room right now. Be still and know that I am God. Would you still our hearts? Lord, we can have peace because we know that you have the wheel. And we're just sticking with you. We know we can have peace because you want to give it to us as a free gift. Jesus, may your Spirit just take control of our lives. Take away the anxiety. Take away that sense of loneliness and being alone. Then it feels like everybody has left us. You are there. When we're all alone, it seems like everybody's left us. It's not true. You are there. I pray that we'd be a people that brings our prayers and our petitions to you. And we give it to you and we leave it with you. I pray that we can walk out into this world with your peace. May we be peacemakers. World of strife and fighting and arguments and hate, may we bring your love and your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.